Good morning. Isn't it a beautiful day today? Yes. Thank you for coming. So welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. And today is one of those days that I look forward to because it reminds me that I have been here with you for 2 years now. The very last Sunday of the month, 2 years ago, was my first Sunday with you. I was installed as pastor on the 25th of September, and my first Sunday was the 26th of September. And so that's why I'm wearing this particular stole. This was given to me by my home congregation back in California for my ordination. And it has little symbols on it that will remind me of them, like oranges and music, things like that. So I take it out on special occasions. This is a special occasion to me. Reminder that we've been together for 2 years. And they say that the first 2 years are the hardest. Let's hope that's true. And I can say, as I was contemplating that this morning, that being installed as your pastor was the best present of all, was coming to be with the wonderful people here in Buffalo. So I thank you for that. I thank you for our continued relationship with each other as we continue to learn and to grow and to develop as disciples and as apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do have... thank you. So we do have a few announcements for Food Pantry. Our volunteers this week are Jan Nelson, Shirley Gorman, and Linda Morgan. On Tuesday, 10 o'clock, right here, we have Bible study, and our bell choir will be rehearsing Thursday at 1 o'clock. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able and join me in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant, number 659.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you show perpetual loving kindness to us, your servants. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody the generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Jonah, chapter 3, through verse 11 and chapter 4. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out to the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Word of God, word of life. We'll read Psalm 145, first 8 verses responsibly. "I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever." "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness.
One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power."
"I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works.
They shall tell of the might of your wondrous acts, and I will recount your praises.
They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness, and they shall sing joyfully of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love."
The second reading is from Philippians, the first chapter. "For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two, my desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress in joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that, whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do I have kids who want to come forward for a kids' sermon? Oh, good.
Sackcloth and ashes, and they're stumbling all over again. It's like, oh, God, I want to die. And God's saying, what are you talking about? Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? It's, well, yeah. And God says, you are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor, and which you did not grow. It came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who don't really know much? Poor Jonah. He's there just saying, but God, none of this is fair. I go and I talk to people I don't like, and they're converted. Then I sit down under this bush, and now a worm comes and takes it away from me. This is not fair. Have you ever had instances, but maybe you're not a complainer like Jonah. I happen to look at Jonah thinking, you know, how many times in my life has God told me to do one thing, and I say, I don't think so, I'm going to do something else. And God's always right. And I don't necessarily complain about it. Oh, not to the level of Jonah. But have you ever complained that something just isn't fair? Okay, what do you have in your life that isn't fair?
Let us acknowledge that you know everything we do. You always know.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, a rock and a redeemer. Amen. Well, just as we heard in our children's chat, life doesn't seem to be fair. If you have a child, if you've been around children, if you've been a child, you've experienced the that's not fair. And somehow it doesn't stop once we become adults. Things just aren't fair. It happens over and over and over again. About a week and a half ago, I was in a text study with a number of colleagues, and we were talking about this particular text. And something came up, and it struck me. That individual said, what would it, just imagine what it would have been like to have been the last class at Luther Seminary before the Jubilee Scholarship. I said, I don't have to imagine that. I was the last class at Luther before the Jubilee Scholarship. Let me tell you what that's all about. I started seminary at Luther back in 2016 and was given a decent scholarship. The very next year, they implemented something called the Jubilee Scholarship for all incoming Masters of Divinity and Masters of Art students. The Jubilee Scholarship meant that you had zero tuition. Full ride for all new people coming into the school. Well, wait a minute. What about those of us who are already here? Don't we get to cash in on some of that as well? And the answer was no. That was for incoming students. We'll boost your scholarship money a bit. But no, the new people, ever since then, have been eligible for this scholarship that pays everything. That's not fair. That's not fair. I had to pay tuition. And then when I graduated, I had someone from the synod say, you know, we have a fund that can help pay part of your student loans. And I said, but I don't have student loans. I saved my money so that I could go to seminary and not have to take out loans. Now you're telling me you would have forgiven loans if I had them? Well, that's not fair. And then I hear about government programs to potentially do the same thing for people who have student loans. Forgiveness of student loans. But I don't have any student loans. I was financially responsible. This isn't fair. Or is it? We always talk about things not being fair when they don't work out to our advantage. And why do we want to begrudge good things happening to other people? Let's look at our gospel lesson once again. Now, how many of you have businesses or have ever had a business? I see a couple of hands. Does this look like your business model? Any of you? Not yours. This is not a lesson on how to run a business. So please don't take it that way. We're told this parable about someone who owns a vineyard, and he goes out early in the morning and he sees those people lined up looking for work. Now, that was a common sight back in Southern California. You knew if you needed a day laborer, you went over to Home Depot, and there they were, standing around in the parking lot, some of them with their tools, some of them without, waiting for someone to hire them. And that's what's happening here. So there are groups of workers, and this vineyard owner goes early in the morning. This is about 6 in the morning, and he goes and he finds some workers, and he says, if you come and work for me, I'm going to give you the usual daily wage, a denarius. And they say, that sounds good. And they go and they start working in the vineyard. And then he goes back repeatedly, and he finds people standing idle. And he says, why don't you come and work for me, and I'll pay you what's fair. And so they come and work. And he does this throughout the course of the day. And finally, he goes out at 5 o'clock, an hour before quitting time. And he finds people standing around, and he asks, why are you still standing out here looking idle? And they say, because nobody wanted us. No one wanted to hire us. Well, you come along too. And they work for an hour. Some of these people have been working for 12 hours by the time the day ends. And so the day ends, and they do something that I really wouldn't recommend if you own a business. And that is that he asks that those who are hired last be paid first. And they come forward expecting an hour's wage. And instead, they get a full day's wage, enough to feed and clothe and nourish their families for about 3 days. And they must be ecstatic. Who is this vineyard owner to pay us an entire day's wage when we've worked for a single hour? And the others, seeing this, are starting to calculate, well, if they get a full day's wage for 1 hour and we've worked for 12 hours, we're going to come away from this wealthy. 12 days' wages. I mean, that's what I'd be thinking. And instead, as each group comes forward, they receive a single day's wage. And so those people who have been working for 12 hours are probably the ones grumbling the loudest. This isn't fair. We have slaved away in the hot sun for 12 long hours. And they worked only 1 hour. And you made them equal to us. Sounds kind of like the grumbling that we heard from Jonah too, doesn't it? This isn't fair. And what does the vineyard owner say? He says, what harm have I done to you? You agreed when I hired you that you would come and work in my vineyard and I would pay you the usual day's wage. And that's exactly what I've given you. And so take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? Now, no human manager or owner would do this. If you decided that you're going to pay the laborers for 1 hour the same as those who labor 12, you would probably do it discreetly. The normal thing that you would do would be to bring in those people who had worked the longest amount of time and paid them, and then you pay the others the same as you've chosen, but you don't let everybody know about it. Who's going to want to work for you the next day? Anybody at 5 is exactly it. Who's going to want to be there at 6 in the morning to be hired? You're not going to want... This is not the way that humans operate, but this is the way that God operates. And what are we being told here? We are all called to work in God's vineyard. And whether we work in God's vineyard from the time that we are 6 or 7 or 8 or 12, or if we don't come to God's vineyard until we're 85, we all get paid the same thing. You know what that is? Eternal life, exactly. We all get the same thing, eternal life. We all get the same grace of God because God is allowed to do with what God has. God has that grace. God has that salvation. God has that mercy. And God will give us all the very same thing, eternal life. No matter when we come to Him, no matter how long we've labored in God's vineyard, we get the same thing. And that doesn't sound fair. This is the scandalous love of our God. that it, by human standards, is not fair. But think about it. If we got what we really deserve, what would we get? We'd get, yeah, the hot place forever. That would be fair. That would be fair. Because we all fall into sin. We are all captive to sin. And we all deserve that eternal death rather than eternal life. And God, in God's infinite goodness and mercy, gives us eternal life. And it is not fair. Thanks be to God that God is not fair, but instead is gracious and merciful. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Lord of Light, number 688.
Thank you.
Let us together confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors.
God, who is gracious and merciful, teach your church to invite and welcome all. Lead us to be grateful for the blessing of community. Challenge your church to choose equity and compassion over judgment. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, who sends the wind and the sun, you know every worm and bush by name. Help us remember that even the humblest parts of creation are precious to you. Show us how best to care for the earth and its creatures. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
God, who is ready to relent from punishing, impart your compassionate wisdom to legislators, judges, members of the military, and law enforcement. Give them courage to serve their communities in times of uncertainty, stress, or exhaustion. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, who saves, direct your people who are tempted by evil ways. Protect your children from calamity and disaster. Strengthen all who are incarcerated. Encourage all who are in despair or pain of any kind. And we pray now especially for those who are on our prayer chain or those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer.
God, who is slow to anger, may we boast about the goodness of Jesus with the confidence of Paul in prison. Inspire us to find abundance in whatever vocation we are called to, in the world and in service to our congregation. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, who abounds in steadfast love, we give thanks for the saints called to the kingdom of heaven, especially those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. United with them in spirit, hold us firm as we labor in this life and look to the life to come. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's with your tithes and your offerings.
Thank you.
glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. Supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we
forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready, and all are welcome at the table of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.